Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to my Purposeful Life podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Geed. One very early morning after a five-day spiritual retreat in Sedona, I woke up to this entire podcast and all its episodes and content downloaded and channeled through me. As this podcast has been born from Source, Universe, God, I am honored to serve as the conduit to bring you content that I hope will inspire you and bring new insight on how you can tap into living a more purposeful life. From spirituality to holistic health and wellness, this podcast will cover many aspects of discovering who you truly are, how to release what's no longer aligned with your soul, and actionable steps on living a more purposeful life. Thank you for joining me. For working on raising your own vibration so as a collective we can continue on our path of enlightenment together. Just I am so excited to have you on the podcast today, to have you here talking about this topic on navigating your spirituality and faith. I cannot tell you the amount of clients that see me for energy healing that ask me, how do you walk a path of faith and spirituality? They often find that like in their faith, energy work is almost looked down on or, you know, as seen as evil or bad. So I'm excited to dive into this with you today. I know this episode is really going to resonate with so many. So thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your own experience. Before we dive into all of that, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Hi, everybody. Hey, this is Jess. I am Jess Hasso. I am originally from the Sioux Falls area. I grew up in Hartford. I am a financial planning professional, and I am a mom and a wife, and I pretty much like four things. I really dig music, so I spend a lot of my time going to concerts and music festivals. I love Jesus. He is in my heart, so I tell my face. I like cosmetics and all beauty things, which today I'm wearing a nice neutral colored lipstick, if you'd like to know. and I like CrossFit, so I'm pretty into my fitness. I'm a Viking, so I'm 6 feet tall, and my body is sort of built for rowing boats and throwing rocks at people, and so I found my sport. My favorite color is red. I like ice cream, and I'm a Pisces.
I think that was one of the best introductions we've ever had on the podcast. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I feel like everyone knows so much about you now.
Yeah, it's really all-encompassing.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Okay, so let's dive right in. Would you share with us, what is the religion you grew up in?
Yeah, I am a Christian. So I grew up in a Christian household. I'm one of those kids that like went to church with my family my whole life. So Christian, my denomination is Lutheran, and through that I am part of the ELCA, and we're kind of like the loosey-goosey Lutherans, if you will. But I grew up in a faith family where we spent every Sunday, pretty much every Wednesday at youth group, going to Sunday services. I was probably singing the liturgy from the LBW before I was old enough to read it. So my faith life has been a really important part of who I am from a super early age.
So what brought you down this path of wanting to explore your spirituality and really just understand your own energy?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I grew up with this kind of really immersive faith life. And I guess I would say like I was fortunate to have that. I didn't really have sort of this back and forth that a lot of people, particularly Christians, feel about their faith life, where they sort of like are in it and then out of it and then back in it. I was really fortunate that I kind of kept that faith most of my life. And I worked at a youth camp when I was in college, and so I just stayed pretty tethered to that space most of my life. As I grew older, because I'm a little bit older now, I just sort of understood there was more to me than maybe what I was experiencing just through what I was practicing at church. And so, like, Chelsea and I met each other a while ago, and you weren't even in this work yet. And our relationship just kind of did its normal thing. And I sort of saw from afar this awakening that you had. And I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool. And I was at a space and time in my life where I thought, gosh, there's more to me. Like, I have always thought about my values as a person. And one of those values is about fun and light and purpose. And this just, it was like a magnet to me where I wanted to just explore more of, like, why did I feel that way? Why was this one of the gifts that was given to me? And I knew that there was just more. Like, there was more to me than just, like, one linear thing through my faith. Does that make sense?
It totally does. Okay. Yeah. So a good piggyback question is, how would you describe what spirituality is from the way it means to you? Because it can obviously look so different to every person, but from your perspective, how would you describe what spirituality is?
Yeah. Okay. So, gosh, I wish you could also see my hand talking right now. I'm going to direct some planes over here. So my spirituality, like with my faith walk with God, and then my energy work and my spiritual life, they live in tandem. They kind of like go down the road at the same time. And it turns out like they enhance each other, not diminish. Which I think is something that people don't maybe understand about energy work or about like drawing into who you are as a spiritual being. They're like, oh, no, that pulls away from your faith. You're walking away from God when you do those things. And for me, it wasn't. It was like kind of powering up that relationship, because what I started to understand was that like I had been bestowed this beautiful gift. Like I had been entrusted with this light and this wonderful opportunity to see energy and see goodness and be this conduit for other people. And all of a sudden it was like, I felt this closeness to God through that. And so these are two things for me that walk side by side and they kind of enhance each other. And so the further you walk and you grow in your relationship with God and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit, the more you can grow in your relationship with your energy work, with your spirituality, with leveling up how you feel about your divine feminine, your energy within you, the energy you hold in rooms, the space that you take up, and that they can move in a very parallel, very, very same kind of direction space. Yeah. That way.
I love that. I think you hit it right on the nose there with a lot of people see it being separate when really it's not. I mean, you're Reiki 2 attuned. Maybe by the time this even comes out, you'll be a Reiki master.
Yep.
And I don't know if you remember this, but in the Reiki manual, it talks about how Jesus said, you have everything inside of you that I have. And that gives me goosebumps every time I repeat that because it's so true. Like we have this huge unlimited potential within us, which is this God source energy. But many of us aren't tapped into that or don't understand that. And when you start understanding your energy and you start walking this spiritual journey, no matter whether you are faith-based or not, that connection with God, Jesus, the universe, source, whatever you want to call it. To me, it's all the same thing. That starts becoming stronger because it can't not become stronger.
Yeah. You know, going through Reiki 1 was really helpful for me in just understanding this because I'm a person that likes knowledge. And I remember going through that process. And when we talked about there's not dogma associated with this, like it is not tied to a religion. That was really helpful for me in understanding that like I wasn't pulling away from something that I was really truly grounded and rooted in. My faith was unwavering and this I knew was going to be like a power up to that. And so often people fear what they don't understand. And I think that is when we look at spiritual work, when we look at things that enhance spiritual work, like crystals or like sage, they don't understand why we want to use those things as part of our practice, right? We do things like that all the time in Christian work. We do that when we baptize children. We do that when we use communion. We do that when we kneel and we pray and fold our hands. Those are all ritualistic type of things that we do. And I really think that it provides a sense of comfort to us, right? That repetitive feeling of surrender or motion provides comfort. And so I just think that this, like the knowledge of what we were doing here when I went through the attunement and understanding those things, and then also understanding the tools and resources that went along with this work, it was really, really helpful in continuing to help strengthen the relationship of those things for me.
I love that. I think sometimes too, or at least, you know, if I look at the question, what does spirituality mean to me? It's really understanding myself at a soul level, mm-hmm. which many of us don't understand ourselves. We are just who maybe what other people told us who we are, right? Which society does that to us, either consciously or unconsciously. And we get to rewrite that. We get to become who we feel like we're meant to be. And I feel like spirituality for me really helped me to navigate that and understand that and know that I can rewrite the story at any time that I want to. It doesn't have to remain this way. I don't have to be this person. I get to be whoever I really want to be and grow in that spiritual journey alongside myself, I guess, is how I would phrase that.
Yeah, and also alongside others. Like, yeah. I found this incredible community of people that I would not have connected with otherwise, who were ready to engage in the same challenging work, which this, I mean, it's hard. I know we'll get to those questions in a little bit, but like, this work is it's challenging for so many reasons. And to be with other, I mean, I know that there's obviously men involved in this work too, but I've been mostly surrounded by women. What an amazing community for me to grow with, and particularly at this juncture in my life, right? I'm, you know, almost 40, and it's been a really amazing time for me to just find another group of women who were like-minded, who wanted to challenge themselves at something. It was just, yeah, it's been a really incredible journey.
So I know we talked on this a little bit, but why do you think many religions look at energy work or spirituality from a place of it being something that's bad? Is it just a lack of not understanding, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think part of it is a lack of knowledge and understanding. And just because, you know, I think that there's a lot of messaging that you take one step away from your faith, you're one step closer to darkness. You know, you're closer to being tempted by the devil. You're closer to doing something that maybe will lead you astray. But I grew up in a house where it was okay to ask questions. And I'm so grateful that my parents taught me that it was okay to say, well, what if? And I really do think that if you started to peel back the layers, right? Like, I don't like onions, so I talk about cake. Like, if you start looking at the layers of the cake inside of most Christian religions, you will see the way that they talk about Jesus and the works that he does, the way that we talk about the works that we do now, the way that we want the power of the Holy Spirit to be in us. Dude, it is energy. It is exactly what we're talking about here. Sometimes I will go to my friend's evangelical church, and they are talking about the power of Christ being in this place and moving people to tears and the energy working through them. And I was like, yo, it's Reiki up in this joint. And it's just, I do think that most are afraid because they don't know about the unlimited potential that lives within this space. And without taking time to explore that and to educate yourself on that, it could become a slippery slope for someone who maybe doesn't take that time to look at it thoroughly, and who maybe could be taken and tempted. But I really do think that for somebody who is interested in it and can look at it and go, this is going to power up my relationship. And you think about the power of the Holy Spirit, right? A lot of what we are taught is about believing without seeing, right? Like, that is so much what goes into this. And honestly, I feel that work within me. I feel different when I get done with a Reiki session. I feel different after I meditate. I feel different when my bare feet are in the ground and I'm connected to my energy source. Like, I feel different. And that is the same type of feeling that I have after I have a really thoughtful prayer session or after I hear praise music that moves me. So I know that the Holy Spirit and the energy are working within me together in one.
Mm-hmm.
So
how have you navigated sharing your spirituality and gifts with your family and friends? I know sometimes that can be, you know, the hardest part for someone who's really faith-based and wants to start, you know, exploring maybe their spiritual life, having maybe friends or family that are like, what are you doing?
Oh man, I remember I brought my crystals home for some stuff and my mom was like, what is this witchcraft? So not everyone is going to accept it because they're not there yet. And that's okay. This is my journey. This is my space. This is how I'm choosing to heal my trauma and grow myself. And I'm really excited if people want to come on this journey with me, but I can recognize that not everyone is there yet. And those that want to talk to me about it, dude, I will talk your ear off. I'm very excited to share how this has changed my thought process, how this has changed the way I engage with people, how this has changed how I connect. But I can also recognize that this isn't for everyone because sometimes they're not there yet. Sometimes their soul is brand new and they haven't had enough experiences yet to help them move into a space where they're ready. And so I gotta understand that and I gotta believe that. It's much the same way that, yes, I want to talk to every person about their relationship with Jesus, but sometimes they can't hear me yet. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I'm gonna stop trying. Doesn't mean I'm gonna give up on them, but sometimes they just aren't ready to hear me.
And they may not ever be ready in this lifetime.
Right.
And that can be hard, especially when it's people you love and care for so much. You know, when you can be like, oh, but if only you knew like how lovely it is, you know, to navigate this. Everyone has to go on their own journey. And just like I don't really ever share my beliefs or feelings around religion or spirituality or anything like that unless someone really, really wants to know. Because you get to believe what you want to believe and I get to believe what I want to believe. And that's the beautiful thing about it all is we get to navigate it and we get to explore and we get to decide what everything means to us. And that's part of the journey.
Yeah, it is. The other thing I would say about it is that, you know, people might surprise you. You know, I didn't think it initially that my husband would be very into this. I remember the first time I was like, hey, I'm going to go meet with Chelsea and I'm going to try this Reiki thing. And I'm just going to talk about it a little bit with you after I have my first session. And we ended up talking about it for a couple of hours in the car. And he was really fascinated by what it was about. And then after I went through attunement, he's let me practice on him a couple of times and work through some sessions with him. And he would have been the last person I would have thought that would be into this type of work. But it surprised me. And I think that going into it with an open mind and an open heart is really important. And knowing that this person may or may not choose to love this part of the journey for me, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that you've got to continue to love the journey that you're on.
I think sometimes too, when we're on our own journey and things are changing and shifting in such a positive way for us, people get curious and they're like, okay, what's something's different here? What's going on? Like, tell me the secrets. And that's when you get to share, right? But going in and being like, you're not going to believe this thing. Oh my gosh, it's so awesome. Let me tell you all about it. People are going to be like, you are crazy. Like, take a step back. Mm-hmm. So let them come to you and just keep being you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone questioned the path you've been on at all?
Yeah, I've had quite a few, well, family and friends ask me a lot of questions about it. Just knowing my relationship with God and just trying to figure out how that fit in. Like, how does this actually fit in with your faith? Are you sure that this doesn't pull you away from your relationship with Jesus? And, you know, I'm not a person who's going to sit here and quote scripture, but I do, what I do know is that through the works that have been done in my life, I know my relationship with God has saved me. And I also know my relationship in growing spiritually has saved who I am. And like, I know those things. Oh my gosh, I'm going to get emotional. Pull it together. Okay.
Tissues.
Thank you. There's so much power in this work. And that's how I know it's real. Is I feel it. Just like I feel the power of the Holy Spirit move through me, I feel my energy shift when I walk in this room. I feel the way I change after we have a really powerful session together. And yeah, of course people are going to question it. They question things they don't understand or don't know. Again, it's okay that they don't maybe know everything about it. And I even have some people who like fervently disagree with the journey that I'm on. But you know what? It's mine. And I'm still taking ownership for the things that are helping me grow and things that are helping me become a better human, a better person, and continue to let my light shine in the way that I'm designed. These are my spiritual gifts, and it is my calling to let them free.
Beautiful. I love it. How has understanding energy and connecting to your spirituality changed your life?
Woof.
What a loaded question.
Okay. There's so much back work to this question. Like, okay, so Chelsea and I have been working together for, what, 2 and a bit years?
2 and a bit, yeah.
And there's been a lot of work. A lot of like ugly cry sessions, a lot of unfolding trauma, a lot of really ugly conversations in this room where I, like most people, like to tell myself a bunch of lies about myself, about where I'm at in my life, about where I want to go, about what I've been through. And this work forces you to tell the truth. It forces you to be really honest about what you've been through, about how that makes you feel, about what that means to you now, about what that's done to your relationships, about what that will continue to do to your relationships, about how you show up for other people or don't show up for them. So like this work, it's heavy and beautiful and like heart-wrenching and joyous. Like the paradox of all of the things. And it has meant that I've had to be the rawest version of myself. Like the most truthful, because I will tell myself lies all the time because that makes me feel better. But you can't do that when you do this. You can't. You have to be honest about everything. And probably like the shadow work of this has been one of the most powerful tools I've used to uncover all of it. Like, why do you feel the way you feel about the things that you feel? Oh gosh, it makes me all like gaggy in my mouth. What was the original question?
How has understanding energy and connecting to your spirituality changed your life?
In every way possible. It makes me show up as a more whole person. Like, even when I don't really want to. And trust me, that encompasses a lot of ugly crying. A whole lot of ugly crying. But I tend to tell the truth more now about what I'm going through. Like right now, this very moment, I am having a season of darkness. Like, I'm wearing yoga pants because I want to go work out later. And I knew if I had to look at a gym bag and change my clothes, that I wouldn't do it because that felt too heavy for me. So I did a depression hack this morning and just put my gym clothes on underneath my work clothes. Right? But I can tell the truth about that in a way that I wouldn't have been able to before. Because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of being my whole authentic self. Like before, I think I would have hid from that. I would have wanted people to only see the shiny parts of me. I would have only wanted them to see that I was like fun and awesome and like party Jess and like this person who was always the life of everything. But it turns out like that's not actually what people want. Like they want the good and the bad and the messy and the gross. And they like want the whole person. And I can be that now. I can be my whole me.
Well, now you have me tearing up.
I know, I'm so sorry.
Because I just feel honored to have been able to witness this transformation with you and to see you reclaim yourself and who you are at a soul level instead of just being who you think everyone wanted you to be. You are being Jess now, fully.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about that is maybe from the outside, I don't look that different to people, right? Like my external persona looks pretty similar to how it looked 3 or 4 years ago. But inside, I'm really different. And I think those people who have remained really close to me over the last 3 years have witnessed this transformation. They've witnessed as I've sort of reclaimed myself, as I've given up parts of my past, right? Like I've given up Messy Jessie, as I like to call her now. And I've started to try and stand on my own 2 feet. And I'm still working on it. I'm still a work in progress. And I'm going to be a work in progress for evs, man. Because I don't have this figured out. But what I do think is truly amazing is I have some really great tools now that I didn't have before. And I have this community of people now that I didn't have before. And I know that like this journey has just opened up a box for me that has become this unlimited resource for when I feel just real crappy or when I feel down, that I know I have this inside of me. I don't need to reclaim this affirmation from outdoors anymore. I don't need someone to tell me I'm pretty or I'm smart or that I'm great at something. I got that inside of me now. And like, I actually believe that for the first time ever in my life at almost 40 years old. And that's powerful. That's really powerful.
I'm so proud of you.
Hey, thanks.
I'm so proud of all the super hard, crummy, just terrible work that you've had to do over these past couple years. And that's a really great segue into our next question, because I know this journey hasn't been easy for you. I know there's been times when you walked in here and looked at me like, what the heck did you start? Like, why did we start down this path? Like, what is happening? Because it's true, the more we start expanding our consciousness and understanding our energy and those around us, the more we connect with our spirituality and uncover these shadowy pieces of ourselves, like you mentioned, the more that continues to come up to the surface to be healed. And so I'm wondering if you would share, you know, maybe one or two moments, and you don't have to get into deep details, but how, what were some hard things that came up for you and how did you work through them?
Yeah. Understanding that trauma, it like lives inside of you. It oftentimes is generational. Like, that was something I would have thought was for the fucking birds, man. And until I was willing to open my mind and change my mind about that, and then experience what letting go of generational trauma is like, man, that was like really life-changing for me. And then also to know that there's still things I hold on to. There's still stuff with my mom, with my family that I'm working on, and to hear sort of my unconscious thought process of like, what does that look like and how do I feel about it? That's just really powerful. And also to know that, I remember the first time that we were talking about my spirit team and about them connecting with me. And the first time I like smelled things and saw colors. And now you're all thinking I'm losing my mind, but hang with me here. I like had this overwhelming feeling of like, oh my gosh, there's something happening to me here that I didn't know I was capable of feeling. So there's just been some really like beautiful moments through this that I just like, it's sunshine and rainbows and happiness. And then other things that were like so dark and so hard to talk about. And I'm honestly still working on some of that darkness, because it still lives inside of me. Like, trauma still lives inside my body, and we're still working on that. And so there's more. Yeah, there's more to come. Yay.
It's never ending.
Yay.
I remember two instances in particular. One, when we did the emotional release session, and how powerful that was for you. And I think that's when you were talking about the generational trauma, I think that's what you were referring to, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And it's one of those things, like, you even say those words and it just makes the tears come out of my eyes, because I didn't realize how much I was hanging on to until I let go of it. And I think that is something like that we all do. Like, we don't realize how much anger or resentment or strife we carry with something until we're willing to let go of it. And once you make that decision to no longer let that dictate how you feel or how you show up, and you're like, nope, I'm done. I'm ready to let this go. And you really let it, and you really do. You like actually let it go. The power in surrender and release. Like, man, that word itself, like surrender, it's just become such a powerful word in my dialogue. Because I surrender a lot now. I surrender to how I feel about things. I lay down my thoughts and my anger and my anguish much more often now than I used to. I used to try and carry that big O suitcase with me everywhere I went. And now I don't have to. I get to set it down every time I walk in this room. And sometimes I even leave it here, turns out. I don't have to pick it back up. I get to just leave. those things behind forever. Like, not even just for a little bit, but like forever. And I didn't know that that weighed so heavily on my past or how much it was going to continue to weigh into my future.
One of the moments that I remember two of us working together was when you did the letter writing to Petey. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah, I do. I don't even use that name anymore. Yeah. Like, at all. Now I just call her Messy Jessie because Petey is too intimate. Like, I can't even really say those words because she was real, right? Like, that was really me for a very long time. And most of my college friends now, I've even asked them to stop calling me that, even just in casual conversation, because I can't associate even who I've become with that woman anymore. And it was really powerful. And I ended up sharing that letter with my husband later. I mean, I couldn't at the time because it was just still too fresh. But I had shared with him how emotional that was for me and how powerful it was to just like completely let go of my past self, of something I was really, gosh, I was so ashamed of some of the behaviors that I had growing up. Sorry, this is me getting a tissue. But also the preservation that she allowed me to have through some of the toughest times of my life. And I would not have ever even made a conscious recognition of that if it wasn't for diving into some more spiritual and emotional work. I would have continued the rest of my life just letting her hang out in the ethos and just drain my energy and just be this thing that lived outside of who I was and was a constant reminder of some of my deepest, yuckiest, shadowiest times. And not that I don't cherish so many of the friendships and relationships that woman helped me craft, because a lot of those people are still my most beloved friends. But it was the things that were underneath that I needed to let go of.
How did the actual physical burning of that letter help you release that?
There's something about watching a part of what you write, a part of what you release, like in the flames, turn to ashes and turn to dust. There's just something about it, that there's a finality to it, that like ripping it up and just like putting it in the garbage would not have had the same effect for me. Also, you know, I guess this is probably, you know, tying back to my youth somewhere. We did something really similar to that when I was growing up. Every Ash Wednesday, we would take things and we would write them on a piece of paper and we would burn them. And so it was a practice that I grew up doing in a parallel universe that already had significance to me. And then we deployed it all these years later in a completely different environment, and it, like, literally, I've never talked about that. Well done, Jess. Yeah, there's just something about releasing it in that way that has such a level of finality to it that you can just sort of like wash your hands of it and say, okay, I'm done.
You know, I was sitting across from the room from you when you did this, or I guess right next to you. And I remember just seeing your entire just being just shift. It was like you had just released like 500 pounds. Like, it was just gone. And though you were very emotional at the time, I also feel like it was a lot of joy mm-hmm. in that, being able to release this woman that you felt like you had to be, but you didn't have to be anymore.
This work is cathartic. It just is. It's hard. But there's joy in all of it. Because, okay, so right behind Chelsea's head, it says, grow through what you go through. And I look at that every time I come in here thinking, well, what kind of shit storm am I going to get myself into today? And it's true. Like, you have to go through it to grow it in it. And I was ready. That's the other thing about it. I was ready. I was ready to let go of some of these things. I was ready to relinquish that weight. That was part of my suitcase that I had been carrying around for literally 2 decades of my life. And I was finally ready to let it go. And it took a really special relationship, and it took the right person to get that out of me, right? And I think that's part of the other piece of this is intimate. Having a really great spirit guide and having somebody that you trust in this work is so important. And are you perfect? No. Do we agree on everything? Absolutely not. but I trust you with my heart and with my soul. And that has allowed me to put those things down and has allowed me to be my most authentic self. And I don't mind if I ugly cry here, because this is a safe space for me to be myself and to go through those cathartic things that are going to help move me to the higher version of myself. Because you got to unpack your bags if you're going to stay.
I love that. Thank you for those kind words. They really mean a lot to me.
Oh yeah, I love you.
I love you too. So if someone's listening, maybe they're in their 40s, 50s, maybe even older, and they want to make a change. They want to heal past hurt or trauma, or they want to start understanding their soul and energy more. What would you tell them if they think maybe, okay, it's just too late for me. I'm too old for this.
No. And let me say it closer to the mic. No. It's never too late to unlock the best version of yourself. And it's never too late to ask someone who's younger than you for help. Like, there's an age difference between me and Chelsea, but she's wise beyond her years. And maybe I'll find another soul master at some point in my life who will help me, who's really old. But man, you just are never too old to live your best life. To like figure out your divine power, to live in your spiritual gifts, to unpack your bags, to get rid of the burdens that you've been carrying around. Like, this is your permission to choose a better life for yourself. You know, we spend all of this time and money talking about investing in our physical health. You know, we go to the doctor, we get a gym membership, we start eating healthy and awesome foods, and we think about those things. What about my soul? What about my brain? What about my energy and all the things that are interconnected in my body? It wasn't until I started finding some alignment in this stuff that everything else started working the way it was supposed to. Like, we underestimate what our mental capacity does to the rest of our body and how we hold stress and how all of those things, just that they're all interconnected, man. So here's your permission to find someone to help you on this journey. And to know that you don't have to do it alone. That there are so many people who are interested in this work, who want to have a conversation with you, who will help you and be with you as you try and figure out what your new normal in your life is supposed to look like. And it's going to be messy and it's going to be weird and you're probably going to cry a lot. But here's the thing, like, on the other side of that is a beautiful life. And it's never too late to look for that.
So I know this journey, like we said, has been hard. It hasn't been an easy journey. But I want to know, has it been worth it?
Oh, yeah, man. As I sit here with the Kleenex to my nose and my makeup is probably a little smudgy, it totally has been. Because I'm on my way to finding the best version of myself. I'm not stuck feeling like I have to be something I'm not. And that impacts how I show up as a wife, how I show up as a mother. You know, I've got two kids, a boy and a girl, and I want them to know how a woman should look in a relationship. And it shows up how I am as an entrepreneur, and it shows up how I am as a dominant woman in the workplace. It shows up how I am in my church life and in the groups that I belong to. I want to be the best version of myself, and that can't happen unless I get my soul right, unless I work on my spirituality, unless I work mentally on things. And yeah, it is some mental gymnastics once in a while to try and talk myself in and out of this, right? Don't get me wrong, I'm not perfect at any of this, but I'm trying really hard to figure it out. And so, yeah, it's been worth it. Absolutely. And I think if you would look back into the relationships that I've had, the close relationships I've had over the last 3 years, they would tell you they've noticed a change in me. They've noticed that I'm brighter and I'm shinier and I'm more confident and I'm more sure and I'm feeling more like who I was designed to be, not who I was trying to be.
What resources would you recommend to anyone listening that might be interested in, you know, maybe diving deeper and connecting with their spirituality if they do have a strong faith right now? Do you have any?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you are here, so you are listening to Chelsea's things, which is, I think, one of the best resources that I use. I also think that growing in your spiritual and faith life while you are working on this, like really focusing on both of them, can be so enriching. I spend some time listening to a podcast. It's by a church that's up in North Dakota. And the church is called Evangel. You can find them on Instagram. And there's a link that you can go to. Their handle is Go Evangel, Evangel. And they've got a really interesting podcast that a couple of the leaders in their church are on. And this is actually one of the faith communities that I think underestimates the power of our work a little bit. But you will hear so often that they speak in a way that you're like, oh my gosh, they're speaking right to me. This is exactly what I'm doing. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I think that the more that we become attuned to what our powers and gifts are, the more it will shine through in that type of relationship with God. I also would encourage anyone who's like sort of thinking about this work to listen, or you can read the text. I guess I'm an audible kind of person. To listen to the book Mere Christianity. It's an old book. It's quite old. It's the same author that wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis. And he's got some interesting perspectives on faith and on what to do and not what to do. And I just think that sometimes the way he talks about things is like, well, I don't have a point of privilege to talk about this thing because I've never experienced it before. And that's one of the first times I've heard somebody say that. He's not real preachy, and he's just got some kind of interesting things to say. And then I would say if you're local to Sioux Falls, the faith family that I belong to here is Gloria Day Lutheran Church, and I love my faith family. So come on over. You'll find me. I'm the tall blonde who's singing in the front most Sundays.
So, Jess, this is how I like to end every podcast, with this question. How do you live a purposeful life?
And I found alignment in my values, probably about a decade and a half ago. I started working at this really great organization, and this was one of the things that we talked about, was like, how do you find value in what you do, and how do you find alignment? And so living a purposeful life for me is showing up and being fun. It's being a light for other people. It's illustrating love in literally everything that I do. It's being authentic, and it's letting people know that there is a purpose for them here. And I try and do that in all of my relationships, whether that's with my family, my friends, or my colleagues. And also, I know you haven't heard me laugh on this podcast because it's been so serious, but I have like the loudest laugh in the history of laughs. And I think that laughter and joy is something that we just maybe don't have quite enough of right now. And so I try and laugh as loud as possible whenever possible, because it has been so soothing to my soul, even in the darkest parts of what I've been going through, is just to have a really nice, loud, cathartic laugh. And so that's how.
I love your laugh.
It is a great laugh.
It is a great laugh.
Yes.
How can listeners connect with you?
Yeah, man. Okay, so I live a relatively private life outside of my business. But you can find me on Instagram. I do have a private Instagram, so you will have to let me approve you. My handle is Jess J. Hasso, and my last name is spelled J-A-S-S-O. So there's two J's right in a row, Jess J. Hasso. And I'd be really happy to let you into my weird little family and some of the things that we do.
I love that. Jess, thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Thank you for inspiring those that are listening, for sharing your heart with us and being vulnerable.
Yeah, I love you. This has been great. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to another episode of my Purposeful Life podcast. If you are new here, I'd love for you to subscribe so you're notified every other week when new episodes go live. And trust me, we have some incredible episodes in the work you don't want to miss. If you got great value from this episode, sharing with someone who may be impacted by this message or on your social media platforms means the world to me. And as always, a review from you is the best form of energy exchange you can provide. Every review helps show this podcast to more people. And the more people listening, the more we can continue to raise the collective energy. The light in me sees and honors the light in you. Until next time.